You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Special good morning to all the mothers. Our scripture reading is in Proverbs 14th chapter, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessings to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do as we study your word. We pray particularly that it be a blessing to the moms that are here and that it lift them up and encourage them. This we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to stand up here and try to fool any of you. Let's get it right out on the table. I'm not a mom. I don't know what the hardships of being a mother are or the joys or blessings of being a mother are. I know they're different than being a dad. But I can't teach you anything about that today. But what I can teach you is what God says about it. And that I do know. And I have some understanding of that. And so I hope what we cover today is a blessing to you mothers in regard to this. And actually what we're going to study is something that really applies to all of us. Applies to all of us. We learn so much from moms. You know, and I'm not going to go into the statistics. You know, I started thinking the other day, I wonder how many statistics Jesus used. So I started looking back into some of his sermons. I didn't find any statistical sermon one in the Bible. You know what I mean? You know, we didn't talk about how many single parent moms there are. We didn't talk about how many unwed mothers there are. We didn't talk about any of those kind of things that are important in today's conversation about mothers. You know, your 401k, your pension plan, whether or not you're going to have enough money for Social Security. None of those things. But God's Word is still applicable and it's appropriate for what we're going to study this morning, and that is motherhood. And we learn everything from moms. You know, I got a fax the other day and it taught me some things I didn't know. I didn't know I learned anticipation from my mother when she said, "You just wait till your father gets home." Osmosis. That's another thing I learned from mom. Shut up and eat your dinner. Well, that's supposed to be shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Sorry about that. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Genetics. You act just like your dad. And then religion. I like this one. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Yeah. We learn so much from moms. But you know, God has so much more to teach us. Here in this proverb, and you know who wrote this? Solomon. Remember his mom and dad? Stellar type of people. David, Bathsheba. Remember them? Remember Solomon? He wrote this about the 10th century B.C. It says in the Bible that he wrote over 3,000 proverbs. You know what a proverb is? It's what every commentary I looked at said this. It's a pithy sentence. Pithy sentence. You know what that means? Kind of short, to the point. It is concise. It is concise expression of some well thought out truth. The Hebrew word is mashal, and it means a comparison. And if you look at the verse we read this morning, chapter 14, verse 1, there is a comparison. It's a wise woman and a foolish woman. They both build a house, don't they? They both build a house. But the foolish one plucks it down with her hand. So we have a comparison between wisdom and foolishness. And that's what a proverb is. It's a comparison between the things that are, at least here, righteous versus the things that are wicked. But wisdom is the important thing. It's the wise woman that we look here that is blessed by God, that's commended by God. It's wisdom that makes her different than the other woman. The other woman's foolish. And what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is skill in living. Wisdom is skill in living. Now, God does teach skill in living, but as a mother, you wonder sometimes, where does it talk about changing the diaper and fixing the formula? How do you learn to bake a cake? Now, I mean, the Bible's not a cookbook. Yeah, I think God sure has got Betty Crocker when it comes to cooking. But the Bible is the cookbook of the soul. The wisdom that God gives is the ingredients that go in to whatever is going to be created, whatever is going to be cooked. But the Bible is the cookbook of the soul, and wisdom. Wisdom. What can we say about wisdom? What is wisdom? What is wisdom? I said earlier, it's skill in living. Wisdom is the knowledge and the understanding that we need in order to honorably walk in a way that brings glory and praise to God. When it talks about a foolish woman, that's not a mentally deficient person. That's someone who's arrogant and self-sufficient. That's someone who acts as if there is no need. Or, well, actually, it's not there's no need for God, but it goes worse than that, doesn't it? That there's no God at all. But we'll look at that in just a minute. What sets this woman apart is her wisdom. Let's look at wisdom just for a minute. If you go back over, if you're there in Proverbs, turn back over to chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where do I begin with trying to explain the fear of the Lord? Let me just start with the obvious that fear is not terror. Fear is not being frightened. Fear is, as we've learned so many times before, reverential awe. It's that understanding that there's a relationship that you have with a Heavenly Father who loves you and cares about you. It's the understanding that, and this, by the way, if you don't know Him as Father, if you don't have a personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus, then none of this is really going to make any sense to you. Oh, you may think you can apply it, but it won't go down to the soul. It won't change who you are. It'll get you through a moment, maybe, but then the next time you have a problem, it won't be concrete, foundational stuff that you can rely upon and go back to. That personal relationship, that reverential awe, and you've got it while you're alive because you understand the mercy of God. And God is merciful while we're still alive, but after we're dead, there's no more mercy, is there? Think about that. It's here for the moment, but mercy is bound by time. What do you have when you get out of time? You have the judgment and the righteousness of God, and you're going to be judged by His righteousness. And if you're not found in the righteousness of Christ, what kind of judgment do you have? It's no longer mercy. That's when it becomes terror, fear, separation, eternal damnation. But what is wisdom? Or who's the dispenser? How do we learn wisdom? Where does a wise woman get wisdom? Well, she can get it from her parents. They're supposed to teach her. If you're there in chapter 9, look at verse 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Profit nothing. But righteousness delivers from death. Where does this come from? It comes from a father and a mother. He makes this so many times over and over. Look back at chapter 4. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Where does it come from? It comes from a parent. If it doesn't come from a parent, then it's going to come from some other authority figure in your life, or you're going to be self-taught. But God can teach you if you're self-taught. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from either being taught by your parents or some other adult in life, or it comes on your own experience and your own understanding of things that you deal with in life. But God is always ready and able to give wisdom. James chapter 1, go back over there and look. Right after Hebrews, in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all liberally. and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, never or nothing wavering, not doubting about what he's asking. You know, how was it that our Lord said it? He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's an acrostic, A-S-K. It's real easy to remember. Ask, seek, knock. For everyone who asketh, receiveth. It's given to him. Everyone who seeketh, they shall find, and everyone who knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. It's there for you. It's there for me. Where do we find it? Well, we find it here in this book. There's earthly wisdom, and that's important, and it's good. There's nothing wrong with earthly wisdom. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm glad Sherry's got Betty Crocker on her side when it comes to the kitchen. I'm not going to go there. She's a great cook. But you know what I mean by that. But when it comes to the cookbook of the soul, aren't you glad you've got the Bible? How would you like to try to figure out some of these situations in life that you find yourself in? No way. You can't do it. Joseph Story, who was an eminent jurist, Supreme Court jurist, born three years after our revolution in 1779, he was born. And he ended up sitting on the Supreme Court and offered many opinions. He had this to say about human wisdom. He said, human wisdom is the aggregate of all human experience, constantly accumulating, selecting, and rearranging its own material. Now, doesn't that sound like something you can count on day in and day out? Constantly selecting and rearranging? No, there's no foundation to that. It shifts from day to day. It's not anything you can count on. You know, in the 80s, there was that book, Chris, remember? Real men don't eat what?
Quiche.
Okay, and in the 90s, got to be a 90s kind of guy. What do you got to eat? Quiche. That's human wisdom. See, it's constantly selecting and accumulating, but it's rearranging that material. You don't understand it. I mean, it changes from day to day. You know, one day you wear pants down to here, and the next day you wear these things that come up to your ankles, and you wonder, the guys wonder, you know, if you got a discount on that. Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that, and it says, in much wisdom is grief. And Paul said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Foolishness to God. The wisdom of this world. And that's because it's like sand. It shifts day in and day out when the wind blows. It shifts day in and day out. Come back to Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 23. Wisdom comes from God. Let's start with verse 19. Now, if you want to have some kind of how-to explanation of what wisdom's all about and how you can apply it to your life, you're not going to get it from me. I told you in the beginning, I don't have a clue if you're a mother. Don't look at me for these answers on how to deal with an A-type child or a B-type child or a C-type child. You know, I don't know. But I know Him who knows. And that's where I go to seek my answers and understanding. Here in verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among gluttonous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, I know God says. Wisdom above everything else that you can get. Get wisdom. Here He tells you to buy it, sell it not. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bore thee shall rejoice. And you think, goodness gracious, I thought I did that, but I'm having problems. But do you think Eve had problems? She had one son kill another. There are some things you don't have any control over, and you need to learn that right in the beginning. And maybe you do. I guess once that child's born and they sleep about 30, 45 minutes and wake up, sleep 30 or 45 minutes and wake up, sleep, and you don't have any control over your life. You learn that in the beginning. You don't have control over them. You can't do. Look at Naomi. You remember she had two daughter-in-laws. You remember the story of Naomi? It's in the book of Ruth. You can go and read it. Naomi had two daughter-in-laws. Her husband and her two sons, they moved, they married Moabites, and then her husband and two sons were killed, and she was left grieving, and she was going to go back home to Israel. She had two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. Sherry told me that Orpah was supposed to, that's what Oprah was supposed to be named after, but they misspelled it. That's what I was told is a true story. So her name was Orpah, O-R-P-A-H. Ruth made a decision to stay with Naomi. Orpah made a decision to go back home. Nothing that Ruth had any control over. As a mother, you've got to understand that. If you try to live that perfect life, you're in trouble because you'll be in jail forever. That jail of perfectionism. And the only way you can break out of that is to break out with the understanding that God loves you and God cares about you, and as imperfect as you are, He's still going to love you and care about you and take care of you. He's going to begin and finish what He started in your life. You put all your trust and your faith and your hope in Him. Not your faith and your trust and your hope in kids. But you do what you're supposed to do. You're obligated to do that. And then leave the rest in His hands. That's a real challenge, isn't it? Now some of you older mothers, you know what I'm talking about. The gray hair. You got it legitimately. The younger mothers, it's in time you'll find that out. Figure it out. In time you'll find that out and figure it out. So wisdom comes from God. It's found in this book, which is the personification of Christ, because we learn in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Him. And that's here in this book. We learn things from this book. Like chapter 24. You're right there in 23. Go to chapter 24. Verse 3. Through wisdom is a house built. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all pleasant and precious riches. What in the world is he talking about? Well, we just looked at two things that he talked about. Don't become drunkard and don't become gluttonous. Those are things that you can teach your children. You can't teach them apart from this book. You need to get into this book and share it with them. Now, if you've got a problem once a year, then get into this book once a year. Problems come more frequently, say monthly, then get into this book once a month. You can deal with your once a month problem. If you're like everybody else and you have problems come at you daily, you need to be in this book daily. You need to be walking in wisdom, walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, go back and read that. Walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. When we talk about the flesh, we're talking about that Adamic nature. We're talking about that spirit of Adam that wanted to be like God, who wanted to know the difference between good and evil and wanted to try and practice everything out. It only leads to grief and shame. Look over in chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's a heaviness to a mother, a child that's not walking the way. And the only comfort and solace that you can find is in God Himself and what He says and how He handles the situation. Let's look at the foolish woman. Come back to chapter 9. Verse 13. A foolish woman, it says, is clamorous. She's simple. She knows nothing. What does it mean to be clamorous? Well, we can see over in chapter 7, verse 11. It means she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's self-willed. She's arrogant. She's rebellious. And also back in chapter 9, verse 13, she's simple. Another word for simple, simplicity. She's full of folly. There's idleness in her life. There's waste in her life. Have you ever seen one of these women? You older women probably have. They lose everything they have. They lose their husband. They lose their children. They lose their material possessions. Nothing has any serious meaning to them in life to hold on to except their self, their own thought for the day. There's not just idleness and waste. They are lovers of pleasure. And so sin permeates their life and they're drawn here and they're tossed there, to and fro. They have no forethought or care about their children or their children's eternal life. They have no desire to remind them or to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To put the fear of the heavenly eternal life in front of them. They're foolish. Remember, they're not fools. They're just foolish. Full of folly. And then what's the last thing? They know nothing. They have no knowledge. Nothing of understanding of the things that they deal with in life. You've sat in a circle with them, some of you younger ladies, and you've tried to correct some things that are going on, and they go, oh, whatever. Is that right? You've dealt with these kind of people. Oh, whatever. Yeah. See, to them, instruction and reproof is foolishness. Anybody who tries to place religion in their life is thought of as a hypocrite or an idiot. Because they know better about the things. See, that's human wisdom. Today, the style that's in fashion is that's what's vogue. And tomorrow, whatever style's in fashion, that's what's vogue. And they change from day to day to day. Their thoughts change from day to day. And so next decade, they'll tell us again, don't eat quiche. And the decade after, they'll say, eat quiche. You'll never know what's... Well, you get the point. Come to chapter 14 again and let me wrap this up. Every wise woman builds her house. You know what? Wisdom gets right in there with you and begins to build that house with you. That's true. Wisdom, when you begin to learn wisdom, you begin to apply it in your life, wisdom will begin to build with you. You're not going to be alone building that house. Wisdom will work with you. Wisdom, the personification of wisdom, is Christ Himself. He begins to teach you how to fill the cupboards, and I'm talking figuratively, not literally, with these precious and pleasant riches of life. Wisdom, it says, back up to chapter 9. Verse 1, wisdom builds her house. Wisdom builds her house. She's honed out her seven pillars. Spiritual perfection, the number 7. She's killed her beasts. She's mixed her wine. She's furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the high places of the city. Whosoever is simple, full of folly, let him turn in hither. And as for him that lacketh understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mixed. Wisdom cries, and all over, not just in the church, not just in the temple. Wisdom cries throughout all the street to get the simple ones, to follow them. To follow the teachings of God Himself. To apply them to life. You won't build that house alone. You won't be there. The only one putting in the effort and the work. As you become wise, turn to Matthew chapter 7. As you become wise, wisdom will help you build your house. Now you want to get jazzed up and you want to get charged up and you want a message that really pumps you up and gets you going. The only thing I'm going to tell you is to get into the Word. You can get pumped and jazzed getting into the Word if that's kind of the attitude you want. God will start doing miraculous things, and I promise you that. In chapter 7, look at verse 24. Same thing. Wise man, wise woman built a house. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In contrast, you know, here's what's beautiful about it. You know, a proverb is the moral equivalent of a parable. A parable is the extended expression, but a proverb is that pithy statement, that exact, concise statement of truth. But this parable, here's a parable, second part of it, verse 26. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man or woman who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's a choice. It's simply a choice. God gives you the power. He gives you the... You know, we're studying in Philippians chapter 4. You know, we get into rejoicing and we get into be anxious for nothing and prayer and the peace of God and think on these things and God's peace. Peace with God will come. You know, all of that starts in chapter 4, verse 1 with two women who are having a problem. But God has all the answers right there. I don't know why I bring that up. I just thought about that. It just kind of coincides with that. Those things about being anxious for nothing but in all things with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests known. You've got to practice those things. You've got to give time and effort to them. You have to apply yourself to the Word of God. You've got to apply yourself to worshiping Him who loved you and gave His life for you. That's the basis for wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You as You meet each heart need this morning. As You bless each mother, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.